You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, it's a Wednesday edition. It's going to go fast like you would never believe. This is going to be a quick one, my friends. Dan Shearer, bottom of the hour. Hank Amos, Tucson Realty. And then the Libertarian Insight, the Cugging.
Insight or Insight?
Insight, S-I-G-T,
yeah,
G-H-T,
okay,
that one.
All right.
Insight, Hugging, and Aligning Our Chakras.
Wow.
With Peter and Tara
today. Wow.
We're going to do it like you wouldn't believe.
Okay.
So, going to go amazingly fast. Let's talk about the party. This is important. I'm going to take the next three shows to educate and illuminate and eradicate.
No, ground, I don't wanna... ground rules for the party?
It's some kind of it's insight.
Okay.
I-N-C-I-T-E. No.
The danger of homonyms, as Emo Phillips once said.
Now, you guys all did good on your RSVPs. I'm proud of you. We're about 175 strong for the party on Saturday. It's going to be rocking and a rolling on Saturday. People have asked me, what should I wear? You know, what's the dress code? Now, I would say casual cocktail is going to be whatever that means for you.
Okay.
Casual cocktail. But I also encourage all patriotism.
Okay.
Right? If you got a cowboy hat that looks like the American flag, I want you wearing it. If Matt has a whole American flag, shiny sequin suit of his, I want him to wear that.
Okay. I got to take it to the cleaners, but I'll have it ready.
You're going to look like Mouth of the South Jimmy Hart from WWF.
I'll have it ready.
So that's dress code. Okay. How's this thing going to go, Chris? So we're going to be in the Sonoran Ballroom. And when you get there, you want to lean off to, there's the front drive with the front, goes right into the front lobby, main entrance. Don't go there. To the left, you'll see a pathway, and that building to the left of where the main entrance is, that's where we're at. It's called the Sonoran Ballroom. There will be signage. Smooch the Donkey will be out there. One of our amazing listeners is bringing rehabs authentic military equipment and vehicles. There'll be an authentic redone World War II Jeep in the front. So wherever you see the World War II Jeep, it's that giant building behind it. Okay? You're going to get in. You're going to pay the good folks at the Westward Look. You're $45 ahead. Then there's going to be the good folks from Honor Flight will be there selling raffle tickets and buy early and often. There's going to be two levels of raffle tickets. There's going to be a gold one for the gold, $20 a pop to win a $1,300 chunk of gold from Tucson Coin and Autograph. Then there will be a green ticket at $10 a pop. Okay, that will be for any other raffle prize that we have, and there'll be a listing of that. And we're also going to take the top, what we consider the top several raffles. They will be on a separate table that you can view, and there'll be buckets in front of them. And you can actually put, if you really want something, you can put your raffle ticket in the bucket for that, and we will pull specifically for that. And part of that raffle ticket is there's a 65-inch UHD flat screen television we're giving away, all of that good. I'm gonna run through the prizes right now, actually, a little bit. They won't be, some of these things will be combined in a variety of things, but I also want to give love to the folks that donated to us.
Yes.
Okay. And again, Jim Bednarik is going to do the music, our good friend with Bednarik Music Works. And he is going to, someone asked me, when does dancing start? 5 o'clock, same time the event starts. Jim will be on one end of the ballroom playing the tunes. There is will be a dance floor. So if something you want to boogie to or dance to comes up, go for it. Also on the dress, if you want to, you know, something, remember we're doing Night at the USO. If you have something that seems like a little more vintagey, not from the 70s, Don't pretend you're a historic neighborhood from Tucson that was built in 1974. All right, so let's go through some of the prizes. Again, thank you to Seth and the family over at Tucson Coin and Autograph for the chunk of gold. God bless them. We have the simulator experience with the Air National Guard. That will be a silent auction. The night in Italy, the dinner for 20, cooked by CJ Ham and me, private dinner for 24 courses paired with wine. That will be a silent auction. A ride along with Sheriff Daniels in Cochise County. Again, all of these things may be put together in a variety of stuff together. Okay. And then the other people that have donated is we got gift cards from Jethro's on the East Side, Rocco's Little Chicago, Dante's Fire, Lindy's Thunder Bacon Burger, Carrie Gallardo and the family at Southern Arizona Cleaning Supply, Clint and Tammy at Copper Creek Cookies. I should pick it up today. It's like this cool cash lottery basket thing they were telling me about. We'll get that. We got Picture Rocks. Ron, of course, has his own line of seasonings and different things that from Picture Rocks. Divine Bovine gift cards. Marana Pumpkin Patch. Melissa and John and the crew are doing a big gift basket with passes and such. We got the giant TV. We have gift cards from Shish Kebab House, Taco Rustico, Union Hospitality, Just Kebab in Oral Valley. BBG American Warrior gave us a variety of really cool veteran military stuff. We'll talk about that. Dr. D. Filippo, dinner out with Dr. D. Again, thanks to Jeff and Betty Jones for coordinating the ride along with Sheriff Daniels. Gary and Judy Davidson, I just picked that up on Monday, gave us a beautiful gift basket with gift cards and different things from some Foothills businesses. We got Gerson's, thanks to Dean, a bunch of gift certificates from there. Josh and the family at Lucky Wishbone. Bruce Ash, Barry Goldwater doll and a bottle of Trump wine. Is from Bruce. I appreciate that. We have a American Security Products pistol safe. We have a $400 flag set from Anthem. We got a Roadrunners ticket package that has Roadrunner tickets and a whole bunch of swag. We got, let's see, Ed Ackerley gave us a really cool U of A gift basket. We got Greg, our friend Greg from Mutz, formerly from Mutz. That's true, too. I forgot about Gail. I got it. Thank you, Gail. We'll get to that. Visit Tucson. Kathy got Mark a really cool gift basket from that. Thanks to Joyce and Marv at Hem and Her. They gave us a gift card. And then one of our friends from Honor Flight that's helping us with this is Cheryl. She has some good connections in the theater world. So there'll be tickets from Gaslight Theater. We're going to give away tickets, hopefully for some Fox stuff. We have tickets to the Little River Band concert, tickets to the Marshall Tucker concert. We have a cool package from the Tucson Rodeo Committee. John McElroy, 3 book sets. Pat Hirsch, who's been a great help in this, has an amazing glass eagle statue. And then Sarah is donating a beautiful Madeiras painting of a vermilion flycatcher. So for you nerds who are in the bird world, it's a beautiful painting. She showed me a picture of it yesterday. So we got a Madeiras vermilion flycatcher. So it's a hell of a set of swag for that you can win and bid on. And remember, we are going to take cash and cash credit card to get in, cash credit card or check to pay for your silent auction. Now, of course, the folks at Honor Flight would rather not pay the credit card fee of 3%, but that's why they would prefer a check. But if you have a credit card, they ain't stupid. They're going to take your money. So bring cash, credit cards, get ready to spend. We're going to have a fun time, but the job is to create and build a fund of money to get these great veterans on their way to D.C. For Honor Flight. All right, let's go to break. Then I got a rundown. Dan Shearer will be on at the bottom of the hour. Dave Slavin and I are going to go see John Anderson from Yes tonight with the Band Geeks up at Celebrity Theater. So, of course, I was emailing with Matthew Neely about, you know, when you used to go to a concert, you know, KDKB, KUPD, one of those KSLX would always be playing the music of the band you were going to go see.
Right.
Well, we don't do that anymore.
They play it afterwards, too.
You are correct.
It made for a great day.
So I got to do it myself on my own radio show.
There you go.
So I am self-indulgent John Anderson the whole rest of the show. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Let me do a good commercial transition. Well, if the lightning hits your roof, you should call Daniel Romero and the folks at Blueprint Home Services. Great work. I know there's a lot of you dealing with roof services right now, roof problems. So call my boys over at Blueprint Home Services. They were amazing redoing my roof. Amazing. All right. John Anderson concert tonight in Phoenix. We were honored to... we actually interviewed John twice. And he was amazingly generous with his time and his stories. And he's a pretty affable, funny guy. And one of my favorite stories is I remember he said that him and Chris Squire, the bassist, went to go see King Crimson after they dropped their first album in 1969, which was Court of the Crimson King. And he literally turned to Chris and goes, "We have to practice more." I thought that was a pretty good line.
Love that.
Yeah. All right. Rundown before we get to Dan Shear at the bottom of the hour. Hundreds of families forced to vacate a Colorado apartment complex after Venezuelan migrant gang members take over the building. So we got that going for us. The last Denny's in San Francisco forced to close due to crime. So no more moons over Miami for any of you San Francisco people.
An endearing breakfast entree.
Marriott sues hotel after hotel is converted into a migrant shelter. We got that going for us. Kamala Harris.
Didn't read the franchise agreement very closely.
Thank you. Yeah. Kamala Harris campaign is doing with Google ads fits the definition of fake news. I just love the headline. Hopefully I get to it today. News of Tim Walz hosting pro-Hitler imam gets worse with unearthed footage. He is the gift that keeps on giving. You know how usually the Republicans are the dumb party? He's the perfect dumb party move. Just dumb. This Trump-Musk interview and the unhinging of people is just amazeballs. I don't know if we'll have time to get to it today, but in the end, what I see is...
At least he's doing an interview, you know.
Correct.
Kamala's in the basement, locked up.
Just like the old guy 4 years
sure.
ago.
And worked.
Since 4 years ago. David keeps talking. We got to keep getting that word in our brain, right? Persuadables. Where are the persuadables?
Yes.
I think the reason they hate that they had millions of people watching them on X is there's more persuadables there than other places. There's a bunch of people who do get their news through X.
Sure.
And Elon Musk has a truckload of followers who aren't watching MSNBC or CNN. That's why they went nuts. Because he's skirting around the mainstream media. Smart as hell. Woman accused of texting before deadly Oral Valley crash finally stands trial, which we have a connection with. Two Pima County Sheriff deputy employees fired following the investigation into missing canine. And we'll skirt around that a little bit.
It was worth it.
Let's see. Alvernon Grant Initiative has community members standing up against violence. We'll get to that. There's a line from worker resident express concern following mass shooting by Macaluso that reminded me of a CNN story I just brought up. He talks about crime rates, but I just saw this one. This one's the best. Inflation milestone. This is why CNN sucks. I just want to let you know this. And Matt and I always laugh when we hear the CBS news about this. CPI slows below 3%. Since March of 2021, they're calling that inflation milestone.
Yeah.
So it's still up 2.
Inflation
point whatever.
Is cooling, Chris.
Gaslight is. I'm telling you, Gaslight is the term of the year. They always have the word of the year, weapons of mass destruction, whatever. But gaslight, that's all they're doing to you. The media is gaslighting your ass.
No other words.
What else do we got here today? Woman on life support following domestic violence incident in Pima County. And that horrible story ties to so many things we've been telling you about for the last so many years.
Correct.
So we'll get to that. We have a deputy that was run over by a psycho. We got that going on. Yep. After suspect
was shot.
Yeah, and shot. That's correct. Yes.
I didn't know they got run over too.
I think they got run over.
The story. Goodness.
We'll go through it. Let's see. Thank God the Pima County Board of Supes spent almost $500,000 on an affordable housing study with a company out of Oregon. Hobbs admits
Portland's doing a great job of making affordable housing. They're just driving down their property values.
McCluskey just tagged me in a video of a guy that's at a regular kind of market in Portland, and they locked up everything behind glass at the market now. So the $2 bottle of cheap oregano in the spice thing is now behind glass doors in Portland.
They're using all the land that was growing the oregano to grow something else.
You are correct. I like the way the English say oregano. They go oregano.
Aluminium.
Thank you. Oh, you know, we had the lady with the big pink bus on yesterday.
Sure.
And I forgot,
at St. Demetrius.
Yeah, so the old St. Demetrius Greek Orthodox Church, which never reopened. I guess the part that's the actual... their little parish hall or whatever, that's now called Masterpiece Event Center. I feel like John Lovitz. I want to scream acting.
Sure.
Also, a bunch of you have asked me, how do I donate to the honor flight if I can't make it? Dr. Neil asked me that yesterday. And so, honor flight... SAZ.org, and you will see all the way to the right on the top, it says donate. And so if you can't make it, or in addition to whatever you want to do with us on Saturday, you want to send a donation, honorflightsaz.org, and then all the way to the right on the top, you'll see the donate button, and they have a pretty easy way of donating some dough. So a bunch of you have asked me that because, you know, things are going on in your life. I got, I'm 175 for an August night. Now, Matt, you played Richard James.
I did.
And I would
I think he's still here if you want
to. I would
cocaine
like.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
I would like Richard James near and dear to our heart right now. So what's great about Link.
Hey, Richie, stick around here for a minute. We need you. Okay.
What I love about LinkedIn is watching some people that I'm friends who are friends with, like Chamber, Sun Corridor freaks. They just if you don't know what town they're living in, because it ain't the one we're living in, right? Now let me give you Laura Shaw, Senior Vice President of Sun Corridor. Okay, LinkedIn recently ranked Tucson as the number one growing market for college grads. LinkedIn's head of America's economist, I don't even know what the hell that means, had to say to CNBC, you can move to somewhere like Tucson and find a great job with great pay working in innovative sectors like manufacturing and tech and live in an apartment without five roommates. That's appealing.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
The comments that I got from actual business people on this one was just amazing. So, Sun Corridor, thank you for supporting. You live in effing fantasy land. The opposite of fantasy land. Dan Shearer is coming up next. Here's John and Trevor and Rick doing a little live roundabout. All right. 6:34 in the morning. Before we get to that Little Green Valley, I just wanted to share when I put that screenshot of Laura Shaw talking about how amazing it is for young professionals. Some of the great lines. Listener Anthony, I need to hire this PR firm, right? Which is great. Kane, we have manufacturing in tech since when? Mike, was this 30, 40 years ago, this post, right? And then Dylan, I'd say I'll have what she's having, but I don't think my liver's up for it. Let's go down to that Little Green Valley, Matt. All right, time to travel down to that Little Green Valley where they solve the mystery of who is spiking the GVR punch bowl with liquid Viagra. Why does he stay on the line when I stay like that? God bless him. What a masochist.
I don't know. Great question.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Danielson, good morning, my friend.
You know, I woke up this morning and was hoping that yesterday's show was just didn't really happen with all of that Monica Dangler stuff. But I wake up and it did happen. Line after line as you were reading that stuff, and this is the head of PAC for those who weren't here, and then reading it myself, you know, I don't know if she was self-medicating. I can't imagine anybody who's in a public role would say these things. I mean, she's. I'd love to say she's passionate about her job, but I really think it's something else. And you know, you can look at this so many different ways. One is, why would you say these things? Trashing a city in the county you serve is number one. And then the suggestion that all people of color need Monica's help because they're poor and oppressed and their pets taken away from them. And I'm thinking, good heavens. And one thing I'm going to look up later today, dog licensing. This was a tax implemented to keep poor people and people of color from owning pets. Are you kidding me? So this took me back, and you can jump in here since it's your show.
But keep going. I'm okay.
Took me back to a year and a half ago to the story I was working on that never got finished, but the only place I ever talked about it was on your show, actually. And about a year and a half ago, PAC was threatening to euthanize pets, which is, you know, astonishing because they just never do that. Now, I knew it was a big marketing tool, and they had kind of their little rogues gallery of mostly pit bulls, and they said, you know, Zeus is going to die, Fifi is going to die, you know, all this. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. I bet these dogs have a story behind the story. So I asked for all the records on all of those dogs, and I got them. And one of the things, I'll just share one thing I found out, and that is that one of these dogs, and these are not records that they would share with the public unless you ask for them, and then, by the way, push. One of these dogs had actually was so vicious, it had taken down a farm animal. And they have it right there, you know, come adopt this dog. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. So you're not telling people that that they may be bringing a dog into their home. First of all, that has been returned to the pound. I call it the pound still. Maybe two or three times because of its behavior. Another one had attacked a guy who was out with his dog, and the guy used a steel bar and stabbed the thing a couple of times, and it still was coming at them. So these are vicious dogs, but they're not going to tell you this. And so your dramatic reading of her Facebook account yesterday has got me motivated to go back to those notes and revisit that story. Cause you know what? It's timeless, and this is really unfortunate. So,
and I'm not saying that Jan Lesher has the wherewithal to pay attention to all of her employees' crap that comes out of their social media accounts. But when you say unfunded mandates like mandatory spay and neuter, I thought that's what Bob Barker wanted us to do. We've been doing this for decades, too. I'd love to see any example where unfunded mandates worked and didn't result in mass death other than a small, wealthy town in the north, which is an obvious jab at Marana.
Yeah.
Right? Because they were the first ones to break away from PAC.
Well, part, yes, exactly. And then the town of Sahuarita also broke away for various reasons. So we should also be reminded again that the county does have certain ethics rules that its employees have to follow. And I wonder if she overstepped the boundaries, because I do know of other employees there, and I'm thinking of one in particular, who stepped over the boundary and got more than his hand slapped for doing it. But it's going online, and the fact is that she is, like I am, like you are, we're quasi-public figures. We weren't elected to anything, but we're out there. And our behavior is expected to, you know, at least reach a certain level, and I think she missed out on this one. So I'm going to be looking at those ethics rules, too, just to see if she might have crossed a line.
So that one, I was checking her edit history on that one. So she wrote that one at, if fining people and impounding, blah, 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 that's a 7:35 in the morning. But then she definitely did 8:35 in the morning on August 9th. So there's a good chance that at least the second one that she's spouting off at, she was on the company clock spouting her crap.
Yeah.
But she might have been off that day.
Well, somehow I feel better, though, that these weren't done at 3 in the morning, because then, although it would explain them better, I think.
Right.
But, I you know, she got up and had a notion and felt like she needed to share it with the world, which isn't that kind of what social media is all about. But, you know, there are some of us who just know what not to say. We're all tempted. We all want to, but we don't do it. And she did it. So.
Yeah, so when Matt brought up the idea of the National Lampoon magazine cover.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
If you don't buy this magazine, we'll kill the dog, and they have a gun pointed at a dog's head, right? That's what it hit us like when Monica Dangler did this stupid, we're going to whack these dogs if you don't do something.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say the most unpopular thing that one can say on the radio, but I believe it. I hate to say it, but we should be euthanizing more animals. And I'm talking about the ones who simply are vicious and kill things and are uncontrollable. And I have absolutely no problem with that. Throwing a burlap bag full of kittens into the river. No, I'm not there. But the fact is that we have been doing spaying and neutering for decades, and there are still lunkheads out there who don't get the importance of that. And so, and they will always be with us, but these vicious dogs, yeah, we should be knocking them off, and I have no problem with that.
I mean, think about it. One of the dogs that they said, if you don't, what Dan's talking about from his notes, if you just checked in, Pac said they're going to kill this dog if you don't adopt it, and Dan got the records on the dog, and we find out that the dog actually attacked and killed a farm animal. Is that what you said?
Yeah, brought it down and didn't kill it, but they described the wounds in in Technicolor. But most of these dogs had been returned at least once, some of them two and three, and there was one at least four times, because the owner said, whoa, I didn't know what I was getting here. Well, because Pac's not telling you. And this thing's just too vicious, or it attacked my other animal or whatever. Well, you know what? Not every dog can be saved. Not every cat can be saved. And I don't know why we are so devoted to no-kill shelters when this type of stuff happens. It's rare down here at the Animal League of Green Valley, and they do such a great job with all these volunteers. But on occasion, a dog has to, be sent to the Rainbow Bridge to wait for its owner to go over. But it's rare. But I would put forth that maybe it should happen more often.
So I'm gonna be an egomaniac and refer back to myself on this one. A few years ago, after Kirsten Auerbach was running the place and she got named as the head of PAC, I brought on the head of the ASPCA of Los Angeles. And because she did this big column about how no-kill shelters are bad for animals. And she came on and did a full hour with me, and her take is, there are, no matter how much you fundraise, no matter how much is donated, it's compared to the need, there's a limited amount of resources. And if you're saying you're a no-kill shelter, there's two things that are going on. Sooner or later, you'll have more dogs and cats than what you have for resources. And so all of a sudden, you're not, the dogs and cats aren't getting fed what they should be fed or getting the medical attention that they need. Or you're bullcrapping us by back door, front door. So back door is they're euthanizing the animal. Front door is adoption, or they send it to another shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And what was happening is those shelters were getting animals they didn't know about their history, and they were having bad results with some of those animals.
Absolutely. And then it's also kind of a fun with numbers situation when you talk about how many animals leave your shelter alive, which is, I guess, a big win. But you're sending them up to Idaho or some other state. Does that really count? Because the fact is you just couldn't adopt it out here. And so that happens all the time, and they fudge the numbers that way. So it's really a big problem. Back in the early 90s, I think I've shared this before, I was at the Phoenix Gazette, which is the sister newspaper to the Arizona Republic before I jumped over there. And we ran a front page story from the pound, and we had a long hallway, and there were dead dogs all down the hallway because, you know, Tuesdays were, you know, the day that they would do that. And we went and covered it. Excuse me. We went and covered it because it was important to put right in front of the people that this was going on. And at that point, the city of Phoenix then freed up a lot more money for spaying and neutering and started making more requirements and everything. But I tell you, we got a lot of hate calls, but it was like, this is happening every single week. And we need to know what's going on out there. So, you know, they present the happy face, but there are a lot of sad stories going on in that pack facility.
My last cherry on top of this pack crap Sunday is friend of the show lives in Marana, and she worked for a animal shelter on the northwest side of town. And this is part of her, you know, you have what the things that make you happy and relaxing and whatever, it's working with animals. She loves it, right? And one day I see her and she has the worst kind of like splint cast around her knee, and I go, what happened? And what happened was she got attacked by a cat that was one that was dumped on the shelter from PAC.
Mm-hmm.
And the cat went ape crap on her leg and literally bit through the tendons in her knee. Right? And, you know, and then, of course, you don't know if it's going to get infected and tetanus shots and all this craziness. And so this thing is real. So going from Kristen Auerbach to Monica Dangler was not an improvement.
Yeah, and you know what would be great is to track that cat. Did they adopt it out to some unsuspecting home? Because that's what they do. That is what they do, and they will admit it. And again, I got all these records, but I had to really push for them. And these were records that some people don't even know exist. And so I have the truth about a lot of these animals.
Remember we talked about that story, and I know I got to go to break, but that they were not putting breed descriptions on the animals anymore. Are they still doing that, or did they go back to breed descriptions?
That I'm aware of, they're still doing that, and their reason was, well, you know, we can't really tell if there's pit bull in that dog, or no, you're having problems adopting these. You know, so going from pit bull to Staffordshire Terrier wasn't tricking enough people. So now you just don't put anything on there. And so what we do is we just tell people how they're, what they're about their temperament and this and that and whatever. Yeah, I'll tell you what, they're not telling you everything. And that's pitiful.
All right, Monica Dangler, there's a Dan Shearer Green Valley news story coming your way soon. All right, Dan, hold on, bud. We got to go see some great sponsors. Hold on, my friend. 6:48 in the morning, another segment with Dr. Shearer, and then Hank Amos from Tucson Realty coming up at the top of the hour. DeSimone and Slavin heading up to see John Anderson of Yes tonight at Celebrity. So me and Dave are enjoying this. That's all I'll tell you. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. John's going to tell us about the order of the universe. That's how big John is. All right, 6:51 in the morning. Christy Simone, Matthew D. Neely Esquire, and Dan Shearer, Green Valley News. Dan, a question from one of our listeners, Kane. He's in the medical business. He wants to know about the Green Valley Hospital. What's shaking down there?
I just talked to the realtor on Monday, who has listed it for, I think, $35 million. And once again, it appears, although he said call him at the end of the week, that another deal has fallen through. And so I'm up to 7 now, and I'm not kidding. People who have tried to put together a plan to buy the hospital. And I know one I spoke to about a week and a half ago said, yep, financing just didn't come through. So we'll see if this latest one fell through and what they're going to do. And so, you know, what do you do with a dormant hospital that, by the way, is in great shape, is only 9 years old, and could do a lot of good. But again, let me go back to the fact that rural hospitals have been flailing for years and decades, actually. And this is going to be a hard sell, because remember, up in Sahuarita, we have a Northwest hospital, 18 bed, that can expand to 36. So that's just 9 miles away. So this is going to be a tough one. I can tell you one of the plans, by the way, and he would understand since he's in this field, was that for the first 6 months, they were going to just do all outpatient stuff. And then they were going to try to bring on, this is the latest deal that fell through, then they were going to try to bring on like inpatient services and stuff. So I sense that it's not going to end up being a traditional hospital. I'm hoping it's not going to become oil chain.
Who owns this thing right now?
This is owned by, it's a REIT out of New York. It's a real estate investment trust, and it's called Broadstone.
See, these guys I'm going to tell you this, I'm sure they're very smart, but they're such idiots. Just go to the county and have them buy it and turn it into a drug shelter for homeless people. This guy will get overpaid like you wouldn't believe, right? Throw a few bucks at the Matt Hines campaign in Adelita, right? And just they'll overpay the crap out of this thing. I mean, they're pulling everyone out of their bad business deals all over. Look at Worldview. They're still sucking on to those people, for God's sakes.
If it ends up a drug rehab place because of what you just said on the air, I'm giving everybody in Green Valley your cell number and telling them that you prefer calls at 1 a.m. And I will say this, that I do know that something was pitched to the county at one point.
I'm telling you, bro.
And surprise. Hey, they'll buy it. But apparently they said no. I don't know if they even looked at it. I hear they did. But in fact, actually, I do know that they did.
If we put it in Green Valley, there's no free crime bus for them to go back to their drug den, right? So if we put all the druggies in Green Valley, right? Right, that we can get them all the help they want.
Let me just say this, Chris, not in my backyard. Okay, may I just say that to you?
So this is what you
we get enough of garbage from Tucson. We don't need this going on down here, man.
Yeah, Monica.
Yeah, Monica.
You know,
Neely, you animal.
North. Yeah, that poor town up north. We don't want what they have. So, sorry.
So we got to get some nonprofit that like Ray Carroll knows, right? And they can run it, right? Yeah. And then we just do it up. Maybe Ray could start a nonprofit.
Just don't.
Daily Communicant Enterprises. That's what I would call it.
I really want to end this portion of the conversation in case someone's listening and says, well, that's a great idea.
Dan's like, can we get a break early? All right, I'm gonna let you rip for the last 3.5 minutes. Tell me about your column about David Latta.
Okay, David Latta is a GOP. I would call him a GOP operative. And if you know the movie 2000 Mules, I will make a connection there. But David is from San Luis, which is south of Yuma, right on the border of Mexico, and he spoke at the GOP convention. And he had heard a rumor before he was asked to speak, and the rumor was that the fire department there was using off-road vehicles to transport patients to the hospital because the asylum seekers who had come over were kind of monopolizing all the ambulance service in the area. So we have this vision of people being taken to a hospital like on the back of ATVs. So he did the right thing. He called the fire department and said, my gosh, is this happening? And they said, absolutely not. It's not happening. It never has happened. So David Latta goes 3 days later in front of the nation at the GOP convention, and he says, this is happening in my area. And it was one of a string of things that he says he said as he was describing life on the border, and everything, of course, was awful. And so he heard a rumor. He checked it out. It turned out to not be true, but he said it anyway. So I called the fire department. I just kind of confirmed everything, town of San Luis, and I called him. And I said, why would you do this? Why would you do this? And he never gave me a straight answer. But I discovered later that this guy has been crying vote fraud for 25 years. He's run for office at least 11 times, never won until he won a school board election a little while ago. And he is just kind of on this tear about vote fraud, which is fine to check it out. I'm all for it. But for him to go do this, I'm wondering, how did he get invited to the GOP convention? Well, it turns out his vote fraud efforts, he did catch someone doing something wrong, and she did 30 days in jail. She had the ballots of four neighbors, and she was, and you are not allowed to do that in the state of Arizona. You can vote your own ballot. You can take it to a drop-off site or people in your household. That very minor incident, and I'm not saying it's not important, but it was a minor incident, was the catalyst for the movie 2000 Mules, which is basically pushing this narrative that hundreds of thousands of ballots are being dropped off at these sites by people who have no connection to the ballot holders. They might even be filling them out themselves. Well, that movie has been thoroughly discredited. It came out 2 years ago, and the producers of the movie actually recently pulled it and the book from
yeah, so I saw 2000 Mules, Dan, and my take was I felt like, because there was a lot of Republicans who were so pissed off about the 2020 election, they're like, oh, got it, right? Because they were just kind of feeding them what they wanted. My take was, oh, this is a nice possible first step. Tell me what's next. That was my take after I watched it.
Well, and I've watched another Dinesh D'Souza movie, and he's the one who was behind this, and I will tell you that look for the sourcing. There isn't any. And trust me, I'd love to believe it's all true. I'd love to believe that they nailed these people. But nothing ever came out of it because he didn't have sources. He just has eerie music and some video that's unexplained. And I'm telling you, as a journalist, this thing fell flat right away for me.
So I before you hang up, I got one good, I know it's going to give you a laugh. Bill number one, Dan Shearer, NIMBY King of Sahuarita Green Valley.
And he is right.
So let's say that building's worth like a mill, right? The county, they'll give you $8 million for that crap. Let's go.
We'll take it.
Yep, maybe. And get those druggies in there. All right, man. Have a good day. Hank Amos coming up, Tucson Realty.